I had thought that I'd have the opportunity to preach on all five of the Spiritual Growth series in one morning, but once I started preparing, I realized I'd only get through the first. But the first is important, and the last is important, and there'll be sermons in the future to do with how to share our faith. But the first of the series is perspective. It's from a Latin word which means to see through, to perceive, or to discern. So we're going to focus for just a few minutes before we then have communion together on perspective. Not so much the course, but just having God's perspective on life. A couple of the themes that came through worship were that God is from everlasting and to everlasting. One of the theologians talks about God living in the eternal present. So whatever the time, past, present or future, God is there, and to him that is present, he is not restricted by time nor by space. And you might feel that your life's in a mess, jumbled up, things are not in the right place. Your room might not be sorted out. Your house might need work on it. Your job isn't working. Your relationships seem to be going nowhere. It's very easy when we're in one of all or all of those situations to lose perspective and to somehow think that everything is wrong and nothing can be put right. Paul wrote to Timothy, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7 we read, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." So the important issues are that we start and that we finish. So we need to start our spiritual life. And if any of us haven't started, then today can be the start for you. It takes submission to God, acknowledging that we wrong God, we wrong others and ourselves. And that God, through Jesus, has provided a way for us to be put right. If you've not started your spiritual journey, then you can start today. But it's also important that we finish. And many people you might know, at one time their faith was strong and they've, for various reasons, fallen away. So the fight may be tough, and the journey may take you, the race might go through unexpected places. Just to mention a little bit about the perspective I gained last night, we had a dinner. Shofar, as you know, is linked with the church in Ghana through Compassion, and we sponsor children in that church, or through in the ministry that that church are involved with. And it was amazing how much I gained from last night, just seeing our sponsored child in the perspective of his situation. So seeing the school building where he might go, or the project building where he attends. And there are more children who need sponsoring. So if you haven't, and even if you have, then please consider that. And we'll hear a bit more next week. But Peace, who is a colleague of Elka's, works at Compassion. She was formerly a sponsored child. And she was encouraging us, when we look at the photo of our children whom we sponsor, to see through the photo and to see some of the circumstances in which they're involved, to see their situation, to see what their life is like. And last night helped me to be able to do that. She had quite a harrowing story. And many of the children we do, we might see a photo, the child might or might not be smiling. But God will give us the insight and the spiritual perspective, his perspective, on that child's life. But a child's perspective is interesting. One of the children that we know thinks that because I call up to neighbours who are in the second floor flat by throwing a ball at their window, and this child thinks that she can do the same. She doesn't understand that you know, she doesn't have the physical strength to do that. Another child, a boy, only this high, with a washing line this high, wanting to reach the washing line, will not think it's beyond my reach, but will lift up both arms. And if you can imagine, you might think it's futile. But I think the way that God often works with us is that he enables us, when we're physically incapable, to do that which we can't do. So he can, if we have a childlike faith and God's perspective, enable a little child to throw a ball meters in the air, or enable a small child to reach that which physically they're unable to do. And people say that hindsight is 20/20 or 6/6 in metric. But I want us to go beyond hindsight. And I've mentioned this in the past. I've used the phrase to expect past experience. We can read it two ways. The first way to read expect past experience is to think that the future will be similar to the past. We expect the future to be as the past was. But the second way to read expect past experience is to think, and I believe it's more biblical, is to allow our expectations to go beyond our past experience. And that's what God can do. So wherever we are, whether we've not done any of the spiritual growth series, or whether we've done them all and facilitated them all, God can take us beyond our past experience. Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, that anyone who has faith in me will do greater things than these. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus went to the Father, returned to the Father. Why? So that Holy Spirit could come on earth, so that we can do greater things. I'm going to look at five scriptures and take from each of these scriptures the human perspective, where some of us may be, but encourage us to go to God's perspective. Scriptures will appear on the screen, and the first is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. The context is when Samuel the prophet is anointing, he doesn't know who, but he knows it's one of a number of brothers, the sons of Jesse. And Samuel thought that it must be somebody who was physically strong and tall, but that wasn't the case. And it turned out to be one of the youngest, David. And God said to Samuel in verse 7 of 1 Samuel 16, he said, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So human perspective is that what's on the outside matters and matters most. But God's perspective is that what's in the heart is what matters. This has different applications. It might be that you're involved in interviewing. I know I was involved in interviewing at St. George's, and for prospective medical students. And one of the prayers that you can make if you're involved in interviewing is, "God, help me to see beyond what's on the outside, even through the words, to the heart of this person. Help me to make a wise choice." Or it might be that you're considering a partner, and physical attraction is important, but it's not vital. It's not all important. What's important is what's in the heart. So when we're bombarded with images that tell us what's on the outside is all important, remember that God's perspective is the heart. The second is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12, where David writes, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." So the human perspective, sometimes I mentioned a few scenarios at the beginning to do with our homes or our work or our relationships. Sometimes we're in a mess. And the human perspective is that the good things that we had, the light has been turned to night. But that's a loss of perspective. It's not to say that problems aren't real. God knows that problems are real because Jesus lived on earth, so that God would know just how real human problems are. But God's perspective is that the night will shine like the day, because for God, darkness is as light to you. If we remember creation, there was darkness, God spoke, and light had to come. I've said before, I think T.D. Jakes said this, if God says this shirt is red, then the shirt has to become red, because when God speaks, things have to change. God cannot be unfaithful to himself or his word. So if you're in a mess, God doesn't say, look on the bright side of life. If we're in darkness, then he gives us light. He turns our darkness to light. Phil read earlier from 1 Peter chapter 2, and a few verses on, in verse 9, we read, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." If you can't see the light, ask God to direct your gaze, because night will shine like the day. The third contrast of our perspective with God's, we sang and I read earlier from Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 27 reads, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." So the human perspective, often, even as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we can ask God in our situations, "We must be hidden from you. God, how come you've disregarded me? Why have you allowed this to happen to me?" Again, it's a loss of perspective. It's not seeing as God sees. Because God gives strength and power. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Why was David, as a shepherd boy, able, without armor, to defeat Goliath the giant? Because he knew that God gives strength to the weary. He took 5 stones. And again, I've said previously, 5 in the Bible is often used to represent human weakness, but not just human weakness. It represents God's strength through human weakness. So he just took 1 of those 5. I used to think, why did he take 5? And I have an answer now, but if you have any answers on that one, we can have a discussion. But the point was this: David knew that God had given him victory. So physically, he was incapable. But he knew that God would give strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. He knew as a youth that he would grow tired and weary, and that young men stumble and fall. But he also knew that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And then into the New Testament, in the book of, or both books of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians and verse 19. Again, Paul is writing and he says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." So the human perspective is wisdom, but God's perspective on that wisdom is that it's foolishness. The human perspective might be that you need time to yourself. God's perspective is that you can train to be a street pastor even if Saturday is your only day off. The human perspective might be that you have to wait until your career is certain before having children. God's perspective is that you can have a child, you can be used by him even before your career is sorted, even before you know what that career might be. The human perspective, this was mentioned earlier, is that you can't give money away if you're not earning while you're still a student. God's perspective, and I'm pleased that many here have seen this, is that you can sponsor a child through Compassion even while you're a student. You can afford £18 per month and a little bit on top for birthdays or Christmas or special occasions. The wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. So when you take counsel, make sure you take counsel from those who have God's perspective. Speak with your home group leader. Speak with myself or Sally. Speak with others who you know will give you what they believe, at least, to be God's perspective. And ask God to reveal his perspective to you. In 2 Corinthians and chapter 12, verse 19, Paul is writing, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "But he, the Lord, said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." The human perspective is one of weakness, but God's perspective is perfect power. We mentioned David and Goliath. Could also have mentioned the small boy with his packed lunch of 5 loaves offered to God. Jesus was able to use that to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children. When the world tells you you're weak, it may be that you're weak so that God is able to allow his power to be perfected in our weakness, and that Christ's power may rest on us. So having God's perspective means that we trust his perspective, even when it might not make sense to us. We trust his timing, even when we wouldn't have chosen that time. We need to learn to listen to God when he calls. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. God is sure of what he hopes for. God is certain of all things. Having perspective is seeing as God sees. And let's not forget that God sees the big picture. We might only see a fraction. A prayer that someone prays over you, a prophecy, a word of scripture might not make sense. We only have a limited perspective. But in God's perspective, know that God sees the big picture because he's painting the big picture. To use another picture, we might have a small brush on a small piece of paper and make a few attempts, often need correcting, often it might not amount to much, but God can take what we paint and he can use it for his large canvas. Isaiah 55 and verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I've never been in a hot air balloon, but I can imagine that from above the earth and being able to see 360 degrees, we get a better perspective than walking on the streets. I think worship, I read a book, I think it's quite a good picture, is like a journey in a balloon. So we have our life on earth with all the situations in which we're involved. And worship takes us and gives us another perspective, gives us God's perspective. But then we don't stay up in that balloon, we're brought back down. And having seen God's perspective, we're able then to deal with whatever situations God puts us in. How do we keep God's perspective? The words on the right have been up throughout the service. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God the Father makes sense of our jumbled lives when all seems out of order. Jesus takes our hands and he uses them to paint God's bigger picture. We're the body of Jesus and he as our head directs us. Holy Spirit can take us when we're together in worship, when we spend time in God's word, when we might pray in tongues as we walk to work, whether people hear us or not. Holy Spirit takes us, gives us God's perspective, and then puts us back in our situation, having seen God's view, to further God's kingdom.